recorded live.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God.
Yes. Glory. Hallelujah.
Please enter a recording number to identify this recording, followed by the pound sign. This conference is being recorded.
Yes, Lord. Thank you,
Thank
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to go to the book of Luke tonight. And again, we're going to be, more than likely, we're going to be all over the scriptures. And I'm just going to move the way the Lord tells me to move tonight. And we're just going to really just stretch out. So many things I'm going to touch on tonight. Again, I want to express strongly how, and I know some of you have joined us late within the 6 months that we've been doing the training. So if you have an opportunity, I want you to go back and listen to some of the recordings that we've done. And, I mean, really take notes, listen attentively, because there is so much revelation. And I'm not going to say just information, because you can go on the internet and get information. But there's so much revelation that the Lord has allowed me to release that it would behoove you not to go and listen and just allow that impartation to hit you. And you know, I really love the Lord, because you know, with so much ministering that's going forth now with the way technology is, there's some folks that's just shucking and jiving and they just teaching a word. But you know, when you come here, you guaranteed to get meat. And I tell you, just like I told the South Bend leadership group that we ministered to on last week, and you know, I told them, I said, well, y'all apostles said that y'all can handle this kind of meat. Y'all can handle this kind of anointing. So I would definitely charge you to grab hold to your grocery bags, because we're going into the meat section.
Amen.
And there's gonna be some prime rib that you know you're gonna have to be taught how to cook it when God gets done cutting on it and preparing it for you. So this is the way that this teaching has been. And you know, as a matter of fact, keep your finger in the book of Luke, because I feel led to go here. When we first started, let me turn this down. When we first started, I did an explanation on kind of why we called it the School of Tyrannius. As many of us say, well, why you didn't call it just the School of the Prophet? You know, wouldn't that have been much more simpler? Wouldn't it have been, you know, it would have made more sense to those that may have been interested? And, you know, I thought about it for a long time before we actually did it. And when the Lord gave me the vision to do this, he said, no, I don't want you to call it the School of the Prophets. I want you to call it the School of Tyrannius. And so when I went to the scriptures and I began to study it, and the way that the Lord broke it down to me, even still up until now, it still started to make more sense. If y'all can, like I said, keep a finger in it. I don't know if I told y'all what scripture to go to in Luke, but if you can, go over to Acts 19 for a minute. And I want to show you something here in reference to what I want to teach tonight. Again, back in reference to the School of Tyrannius. And as many of y'all recall, I believe we started out at the beginning of this course, we started out probably with about maybe 21, even if more. I think I counted maybe 21 people. And at the very beginning, I had it where I would have people to do like a roll call, excuse me, to, you know, just to send me an email to let me know you were on there and if you had listened. Some even emailed me and told me that they wouldn't be able to participate live, but they would be able to listen to the trainings and the recording. And that only lasted for a season. One thing that I'm learning is that when the glory of God is present and you begin to release this level of his presence, whether it's through an impartation, whether it's through teaching, whether it's through the laying on of hands, in any form of administration of God's glory, if there's something inside of you that is causing you to either miss God or where you're struggling with an area in your flesh, you can't remain under this level of anointing. Look at this. over here, and I love the entire chapter. Matter of fact, I'm going to begin at verse 1 because there's some things I want to point out here. In Acts chapter 19, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast from Ephesus and finding certain disciples." Now, when we talked about this in the beginning, we talked about these certain disciples. And let's read some more. I'm going to talk about this. "He said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism." And now we were looking at these particular disciples were John the Baptist's disciples. Mind it now, John the Baptist had been off the scene for quite some time since at this particular moment when we're reading this scripture. Verse 4 says, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Now watch this. Now, we've been talking about how it's necessary when we're, number one, as leaders, we need to be ministering under an open heaven. Now, there are certain leaders that God has equipped. And specifically, even in the office of the apostle, apostles have been given a general governmental anointing to release the kingdom of heaven right into the earth. This is why anywhere you read in the book of Acts, you'll notice that the apostles have the ability to lay hands and impart the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and read the book now. It shows us that anytime an apostle showed up, And they laid hands, immediately people received the Holy Spirit. They received the level of God's glory. Now, here it is. He's speaking with these group of men. They're living saved now. Come on. They're under the assumption that what they're doing is of God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that is transpiring in their particular ministry has something to do with ministering the kingdom of God. The only thing is that they were still structured and still being governed up under an old denomination, so to speak, under an old move of God. They hadn't experienced any dimension or any outpouring of God's Spirit. That's how long and that they had been away from covering.
Mm-hmm. My goodness.
These were some what they call lone rangers. And what happens is as believers and leaders, what we do is we'll come from up underneath a certain type of teaching, and we'll start to roam, and we'll continue in that manner from where we came from. And when we don't connect with other believers and other leaders, we miss what God wants to do.
My God.
Come on, catch this now. Look at this, to what the rest of the scripture says. In verse 6, it says again, "And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Now, thank you, Lord. This is something that's very profound that the Lord just dropped this in my spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we read when the first time the Holy Spirit came, the Apostle Peter stood up and he began to prophesy what was said by the prophet Joel, that in the last days God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. But when you look at this, now watch this, remember, these particular disciples was not the Apostle Paul's daughters and sons of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Catch this now. When they decided that they were going to listen to the Apostle Paul and that they were going to receive of his ministry, and he ministered to them by the power of the Holy Spirit, he didn't just come in there with weak word. Now, the scriptures tells us that the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. So when he preached the word of God, that word became power, and it was a demonstration that was wrought there. He laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost, and they began to prophesy. According to the Apostle Peter, that when we receive the Holy Ghost, it says our sons and daughters shall prophesy. Well, now, these weren't no good converts here. They had been, again, they had learned something about Christ. They knew something. And they began to prophesy after he laid hands on them. Look, watch this. Let's go to the next scripture here. It says, and all the men were about 12. There are 12 disciples here. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Some of y'all going to catch this real quick. This is what was happening. Even though those 12 were present, they immediately became the Apostle Paul's sons and daughters. They became they confirmed his apostleship. They when they stepped into the arena, look, we don't have no covering. Here comes an apostle. Here comes along. He lays hands on us. We receive the glory of the Lord. The presence of God is now on us. We can speak in tongues, and now we can prophesy. And so now they sit up under the Apostle Paul's teaching. And somewhere along the line, because of the glory of the Lord that yet continued to be ministered to them, now you would imagine these were not new converts that the Apostle Paul was ministering to. So he began to release meat. He began to pour out some deep things on them. And for some reason, a couple of them couldn't take that. Over in the we talked about this last week. Remember in the first letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Corinth in chapter 3, he said I couldn't keep preaching spiritual things to you because you was too carnal to receive it. So what was happening was, even though they had received the Holy Ghost, even though they prophesied, even though they spake with new tongues, and they probably moved about in the things of God, because the Bible says that he's persuaded them in the things concerning the kingdom of God. So he wasn't preaching no weak stuff. He wasn't giving them no milk. He was giving them meat.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them couldn't take it. Verse 9, but when divers were hardened, come on, y'all, and believe not, but spake evil of the that way before the multitude. Oh, I don't know if I can get with what Apostle Paul's saying. Apostle Hill teaching us some stuff I ain't never heard before. I don't know. Maybe the Lord don't. Did the Lord really call me here to hear this? Come on, somebody. Is this what the Lord wanted me to hear? Maybe he a little off. I better go back over here and get, because I'm used to what I was learning before. You know, I need to go back to the John the Baptist order, because I don't know if I can take this apostolic and prophetic stuff. And this is the level of where the church is today. And when anytime you get an apostle that can come along and has immediate access to the heavens, they come in there and all of a sudden they lay hands on you and you start speaking in tongues and prophesying. Not only did you receive access to heaven, but you connected to somebody who's got immediate access to it.
Yes, absolutely.
Remember what we talked about in a couple of months, I believe it was a couple of weeks back, and we were talking about in reference to, again, Acts chapter 4, when there was the second outpouring of God's Spirit, and when the Lord released his Holy Spirit upon the church again, he gave the apostles so much power over the church that there was a reverence that came through there that caused the people to lay all that they had at the feet of the apostles.
Yeah.
It wasn't because the apostles was the actual arks of the covenant carrying the power. It was just because of the authority that God had given them to release his glory through them to the church.
Yeah.
We have got to come away from the old order of the way we've been used to doing things.
Yes.
In order for us to gain access into God's glory, we're going to have to access somebody who already got it.
Glory to God.
It's a constant filtering of his spirit through his people that he's chosen. He said he's given the over in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go there. Y'all know I like to flip in the word, even if we read it more than one time every teaching. I don't care. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Absolutely.
But over in Ephesians chapter 3, it tells us, and I'm pretty sure we're going to come back over to Acts again, but it tells us in verse 3, it says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, catch this. Watch this now. I want y'all to catch this. Remember, in one of the other teachings, we were talking about how the sons of God, or the sons of men, they already have access to the glory of God. Romans 8, chapter 19 tells us that we're waiting for the earnest expectations and the manifestations of the sons of God. But we remember that every time the sons of God went to go and present themselves to the Lord, over in the book of Job, chapter 1, it tells us that Satan showed up.
Come on, Apostle.
And every time Satan showed up, you know, he wanted to find out what was going on. And what did the Lord ask him? He said, what you doing?
What you doing?
What you doing, Satan? He said, I'm walking to and fro around the earth, up and down in it. He's just waiting to find out if a spiritual portal opened up so he can get access in there. He need to, because he can't operate in any power on this earth unless he illegally tap into heaven. Satan can't do nothing in your life unless he illegally taps into heaven. And so in order for God to eliminate Satan ever having an opportunity to do that, he raised up apostles and prophets. He went right over here in the scripture, and what we just read in Acts chapter 3, verse 5, he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So unless an apostle or prophet has immediate access to God's glory, you better believe that the devil going to show up every time you step in there.
Every time. Come on, Apostle.
He going to be right there, waiting to see what God got for you.
and try to steal it, destroy it, distract you. Glory to God.
My Lord, my Lord. So this is why we have to make sure that we are officially connected to who God has appointed over us as our apostolic and prophetic shepherds.
Yeah.
Because it's necessary. Now, you know, I was sharing with Evangelist tonight, you know, and she made mention, and some of you who have read that manual that I did on the emerging prophetess, how that Christ is our ultimate covering. No doubt about it. Jesus is our ultimate covering, and you can't go wrong with that. But then God will initiate a man in the earth that has the ability to access heaven with you. I didn't say for you, but with you.
With you, amen.
And here's the key to that. See, a real apostle and prophet know that he can't do it by himself. Because the Bible is very simple and plain when it says, when two or three are gathered in my name, come on, oh, y'all, listen.
Yes.
Don't let nobody tell y'all nothing different. He'll get it quick. The apostle and the prophet, he'll get it quick for you. But he needs you to come in there and agree with him in prayer when he get ready to access it. Oh, Lord. Lord, come on.
The scriptures are
still the same. God hasn't said anything different in his word. And what happens is we get these folks that come up and they start trying to teach us deep stuff and they try to tell you that they're the only ones that can do it. No, that's not true. He said he even gave, he's given the children access to the kingdom of heaven. Suffer not the little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
So if a little child can access God's glory, come on, somebody. Even that crackhead that will call upon God's name and call upon the name of the Lord can get access if he call on him right. How many testimonies have we heard over the years how grandmama was praying for sister so and so before she got saved, and it just seemed like grandmama was praying at the same time Susie was up in the crack house calling out to the Lord because she was on the verge of dying from an overdose. Agreeing in prayer, that agreement in prayer accessed the glory of God.
Yes. On
Apostle. My Lord, my Lord. Lord. Come on, let's go back over to the book of Luke. I forgot where I wanted to go.
Glory to God.
I can get there in a minute. Hold on now.
Oh, Jesus.
I believe I want to go to Luke chapter 12, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. No, it wasn't Luke 12. Luke 13. That's where I want to go. Luke chapter 13 and verse 22. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yeah.
Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And I got to raise up a window, y'all, because it's hot. The power of God is in here. Amen. That stirred me up a little bit. The Lord dropped some of that in my spirit. I mean, that was fresh.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. And I'm going to read all the way to verse 30. So if y'all can't follow along with me, it says, "And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem." Now, I want to stop right there for a second. Remember what we talked about geographical portals, especially in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is definitely a place where many have gone and visited. Even in 2010, many have gone and visited and have access to the kingdom of heaven right there. We know this to be true because even Jacob, the Bible says that the city where he had saw the angels ascending and descending, which was the city of Luz, he renamed it Bethel. And Bethel is a very popular city where a lot of people travel even to this day again. And they've experienced the supernatural, whereas they have had angelic and throne room visitations over these cities. Many cities, especially the ones that have a lot of crime and a lot of murder, a lot of those cities, believe it or not, are geographical portals into heaven. Satan cannot do anything with any power, again, unless he illegally accesses heaven. That's the only time he can get some power. That's why he showed up when Job and the sons of God went to present themselves before the Lord. That's what
wow.
he does.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me interject, Apostle, one thing. Is that the reason why Jerusalem stand the way that they stand when opposition face them?
You know what? I believe so. I don't quote me on it now, but I believe that, you know, because of, you know, over the years now, you know, especially since 1948, you know, and that's been the popular end time prophecy that because they became a nation, you know, the Lord destroyed the people. If he wanted to destroy the land, then they would have never had access to go back into the land.
Right.
There's just certain places in the earth where, You'll literally get immediate access into the kingdom of heaven. We know that too. Even the Bible talks about the Mount of Olives where Jesus ascended,
mm-hmm.
and you know this was a spiritual portal. How come he could have went anywhere? If I mean he the Lord, right?
he
could have went anywhere in the world to ascend back into heaven, but he chose a specific place in Jerusalem where he would ascend into heaven. And the Bible even talks about the New Jerusalem coming down. It's a specific place that he's chosen to release his glory. You know, you go into the Old Testament and we look at the Ark of the Covenant. Everywhere the Ark of the Covenant was, where the presence of God dwelled, that city was blessed. When the Philistines got rid of the Ark of the Covenant and it ended up in Obed-Edom, the Bible says for those 3 months that it was in Obed-Edom, they experienced supernatural blessings.
Yes.
And so wherever the presence of God is, because of the access of his glory, There's supernatural occurrences or miracles that take place where the presence of God is. So,
yes, because you know, when opposition faces Jerusalem, even in the now, they don't back down. And I say, God, it must be you.
Amen.
It must be the Spirit of the Lord that dwells there would not let those people back down. You're not taking Jerusalem under.
Amen. 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 Let me finish now.
Okay.
Here, let me go here. Okay.
Okay.
Verse 23. And it says, then said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Now, I want you to take a good look at this passage of scripture, because if you try to dissect this, in a sense where you know you look at it word for what it is and try to interpret this scripture in a prophetic time, you'll miss what the Lord is trying to say here. This is what they call a parable. It's a dark saying, so to speak, and it needs to be looked at spiritually. There's so many symbols that the Lord is using here. He says in verse 28, he says that you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes on to say in the kingdom of God. If you back up in a few more, it talks about being in the presence, eating and drunken. And so many different things that he's showing us in this scripture. What Christ is trying to get us to understand is that there are going to be instances where you're going to be sitting in. And let me just speak in 21st century term. There are going to be times when many of you all are sitting in churches, and there are going to be some, and even might be yourself. You're going to be experiencing such a high level of the anointing in there. And then there are going to be others that's going to be sitting by, and they're going to be observing, and some may even raise their hands, and some may even shout, some may say amen, some may receive a prophetic word, some may even have a tear or two that may come out. It may seem as though that they're receiving from God. But what's going to boil down to it is that whether they knew him or not. See, one of the ways that you're going to find the many believers accessing a strong level of God's glory in the kingdom of God in this hour is that they're going to have a very strong relationship with Christ. They're going to know him in such a way that when they touch him, when they touch his anointing, when they touch his presence, there's not going to be a question of whether or not there is some spot or some stain in them. The Bible says that God is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And you know, and y'all heard me say this before. It gets me when I hear a preacher say this that traditional monotone is that there is no perfect church. Well, I beg to differ, because the Bible says that God is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. There may not be a perfect organization, and there may not be a perfect group of people, but the Lord is not concerned about who you fellowshipping with. He's concerned about what's going on inside of you, period. See, a lot of folks think that they're going to make it in. You're not going to be able to receive what God has for you just because grandma praying and you ain't doing nothing about it. Just because you went to your mama's church and you sold your seed there, and you always gave 10% of your offering, and you know, you might even got up and read a couple of scriptures from Sunday to Sunday and sang in the choir. You probably participated on the usher board. But I'm telling y'all now, there are people that are dying and going to hell right now that have been in church 20 and 30 years. And they think that they're accessing God's glory, they're a part of the kingdom, just because of what we just read right here. And they have no access to it. The Lord is literally turning people around and saying, I don't even know you. You sat up there in that church for 20, 30 years, and you never had a relationship with me. It's almost like being in a marriage and sleeping in the same bed with your spouse and never being intimate with them. And this is what is transpiring in the body of Christ. And it's a sad thing, but this is what's going forth right now. And then we have others. Let's look at this. Let me take you a little deeper into this. There are others in reference to leaders. There are leaders that are preaching the gospel, and they think they're doing an awesome job. You know, I was around a couple of Baptist leaders, and this is nothing against Baptist folks. No, I don't want nobody to get offended. But I was around a couple of Baptist leaders, and a comment was made. How he said, man, I'm a kill 'em in this robe, man. I'm a kill 'em, Doc, when I put this robe on. I said, when you put a robe on, what the robe got to do with the anointing?
Right, go over to God.
And then you know the other thing that they do is they compete with one another on how well they can hoop. Mm-hmm. You know, who can pound the podium the best, and who can lean back, and when they preaching and they do a tune up or two, and it sound like they singing. I'm like, my God, you know, it's time out for that. The church is so overly inspired and has received so much inspiration that it's time for some information. We need to be taught. And when I hear leaders talk like this, I immediately discern in my spirit at that particular moment that they don't even have a clue as to what God is getting ready to do. They don't understand nothing that concerns the timings and the changings of the spirit. They're so fleshly. You worried about if your robe look better than the other preachers? These are workers of iniquity. God don't know you. Just get on out the way. And so many people are being led astray by this that it's time out now. And this is why, you know, I like in verse 30, it says, behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last.
Yes.
God's got to literally do a 360, because there are people that can access the glory, and they're never going to get access to it until the ones that's been up there in the way get out the way. Don't think it's strange that you're hearing about a lot of deaths in the body of Christ right now. Don't think it's strange, because you hear about a lot of leaders that are falling by the wayside, a lot of leaders that are going astray. Don't think it's strange. Because many of them, because they've pretended and because they resisted what God was trying to do, they've played with God. God really had mercy on some of them. Because, again, I'm going to go back again. I can't reiterate this enough. When the glory of God hit the church the second time, when the presence of God came in so strong, you just couldn't come in the presence of God any kind of way. And so some of these people, rather than to be turned over to death, they're being turned over to reprobated minds. They're being turned over to all different types of wickedness because of their resistance to what God is trying to do. Remember, I always said this: the glory of God is an awesome thing, but there are consequences to operating in this dimension.
Yes.
There are some very strong consequences. You just cannot come in the presence of God any kind of way. Ananias and Sapphira tried it. They didn't lie to the apostles. They were lying to the Holy Spirit. You just can't come in the presence any kind of way. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happening here. The glory of God. Let's look at this again. I got to read this because when the Lord dropped this in my spirit, it was like, wow, I just saw it in so many different ways. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. He said, for many, and they won't be able to go in because they tried to go in the wrong way. It's not by works. We're not saved by our works. He said, "Not saved by works, lest any man should boast." I'm telling y'all, I hear this so often in the religious community.
Yes, Apostle, yes.
People holler about what church they go to, who their pastor is, and how they've been serving on this board and that board, and how they help raise money for the ministry, and every Sunday they go to the nursing home and they minister to the sick and shut in, and they do all these wonderful things. But the bottom line is going to boil down to, do you have a relationship with Him? Mm-hmm. The way that you're going to access God's glory. See, even when an apostle come along or a prophet and they begin to pray with you, if you don't have this going on, you'll never get access to the glory. This is why people pray so hard. They be praying for you and really going before the Lord. And I was just talking about this earlier today. And even with the intercessors, they binding and casting out and doing all kind of crazy stuff, trying to get a prayer through just for you. And the reason they can't get it through, because you really don't have a relationship with them. And they trying to.
Oh, Apostle, I just saw that. Oh my God, I just saw that. You don't have a relationship, so therefore I don't know you. Shut it down.
That's it. You got these people going before the Lord and doing all that they can do for you, and they'll never get you there. And this is what was happening with the Apostle Paul in his school of Tyrannus. He was ministering from his heart. He was imparting the glory of God. He was releasing the meat. He was releasing the fervency of God. There was such a thrust with these 12 disciples. And because they didn't have a relationship with the Lord, some of them got caught up in division. They couldn't take it. This was just too much. Why don't we just go back to doing it the way we was doing it? Wasn't that working? That's what we need to go do, because this apostle, I don't know what he's talking about. I was comfortable just being a disciple of John the Baptist.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, and this is what's happening. We got to break the old order.
Jesus.
We have to break it. The relationship is key. It's going to be key to accessing God's glory, to connecting with those that already have access. Remember, God, the Lord saw fit. He knew when them sons of men, the sons of God, he knew. He said, well, this is going to be a problem, because if they keep showing up and Satan keeps showing up, I got to keep sending people at the gate to intercede. I got to put these people in place. He said, maybe I know what I need to do. When I get to the earth, I'm going to raise up some apostles, and then I'm going to let them deal with the church, and I'm going to give them total access to my glory. And they'll have the ability to pray with the people and keep Satan from trying to access the presence.
Glory to God.
See, Satan got a lot of sense. He know when he know he up against something when he messed with apostles and prophets. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the souls of the prophets that are up under the altar, those that were martyred and killed for the sake of the gospel of the kingdom.
Yeah.
He got to pay a heavy price for that, if not paying it now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let's keep going further. I know I stepped on a couple of toes there.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
You stepped on.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory
to God.
Yes.
I want to continue to go a little bit deeper. I want to spend the next 10 to 15 more minutes in the prophetic, because one of the things about accessing an open heaven through the prophetic, there are channels that, and remember before when we talked about the office of the prophet, and we talked about the ability of the prophetic, the prophets again are the they're the actual mouthpiece of God, and mm-hmm. and by being a prophetic vessel in the earth, you become again that tube between both heaven and earth, and your mouth is like the mouth of the tube, which is the orifice. It declares what thus says the Lord into the earth. And also remember how we talked about that when you begin to minister, you don't want to minister from earth into heaven, but from the heavens into the earth. Again, it's necessary, and I shared this with the South Bend group last week in reference to when the Apostle Paul was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. If that announcement has not been made over your life, if there has not been a senior apostolic and prophetic leader that has made that announcement to those governing principalities over the region that you've been sent to, you're only going to have so much success in the area where you're ministering. And that's why it's necessary to go through ordination. It's necessary for men to confirm you. Yeah, God confirms you, and again, you have some success. But when we follow the order of God's word, when men come and confirm us based on what God has said, and we're confirmed and we're being confirmed publicly, it gives us the ability to access those revelations, to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to unlock the mysteries of our of the region that we've been sent to. You have literally demons that will literally run from you in your city when you've been properly announced by a senior leader. Look at what the word says when it talks about the sons of Sceva. They said, look, Jesus,
where you at,
we know.
Are you still in Luke?
No, I haven't went there yet. I'm just talking right now.
Oh, okay.
He said, when look at what the apostle said when he talked about the sons of Sceva. He said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And this is what's happening with many leaders today, because those principalities, those demons, those rulers of darkness that are in your region, when you step on the scene, they beat you up. You ain't been properly affirmed. And that's what God is trying to get us to understand, and so that we can have a proper access to his glory, and we can have the keys to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom. Let's go again. Where did I say I want to go? I want to go to 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel. Matter of fact, no, we're going to go to 1 Samuel, but let's go to the book of Numbers first. Book of Numbers, chapter 12. Again, we were talking about the different channels through the prophetic and accessing an open heaven as a prophet. Now, remember again, all apostles are prophets, but not all prophets are apostles. Mm-hmm. And as for the prophets, not all prophets are seers, but all seers are prophets. And so when we look at this particular dimension, one of the things that I'm finding very unique right now in the church age, and I believe I've said this many times before, and now I'm starting to see some of the major prophets in the earth today, they're starting to confirm this word as well, how God is raising up more seers like never before. There are so many seers that are being birthed right now and because of the need of discerning. Now, look at this right here. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to go back over to the book of Luke. Thank you, Lord. Look at this in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6. A very interesting passage of scripture. We can go all day and get revelation out of chapter 12. But verse 6 says, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Now, one common thing about a prophet that we know that a prophet will prophesy, that is definitely the very numeral uno channel between both heaven and earth. This is the ability for that prophet to access an open heaven through prophecy. And I'm talking about a true prophet. I'm not talking about a false prophet. We're talking about somebody who is yielded to the things of God, that has been called of God, that is ordained as a prophet in the earth, that has the mouthpiece of God, that will speak the truth with boldness and declare what thus says the Lord. So the first channel of this particular type of prophet, again, first, is that he'll prophesy. The second and the third channels, what we just read here in verse 6, is that they'll have access to heaven through both dreams and visions. Amen. Now, remember, we know this to be true because over in Genesis 28, verses 12, it says that, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. We know that because Jacob had access, and it's never mentioned that Jacob was a prophet now, but Jacob had he had the same access and dimensions and the giftings as a prophet did.
My God, today.
He had the ability to access the heavens through this dimension. And so prophets as well as apostles have this immediate dimension going on and operating in their life. These very three channels are in operation. Now, in order for us to remain constant and consistent with this dimension as a prophetic vessel in the earth, number one, you got to first accept that that's who you are.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that have prophetic calls and will not accept their calling. They'll beat themselves up and they'll kick themselves in the butt and wait till about five other prophets come and prophesy to them that they're a prophet or a prophetess in the Lord, and God has chosen them as for such a time as this. And I mean, and they'll get prophecy after prophecy after prophecy and still won't walk in it.
Well, what happens, Apostle, when the leaders do the opposite? When you've been ordained, when God have called you, and you went through your ordination, and then you walk into a ministry, and that leader tell you, "Well, I'm not interested in your title. Your title means nothing to me."
Well, that I wouldn't even pay any attention to that, because the Apostle Paul, his whole ministry journal was full of rejection. A lot of folks didn't receive his apostleship, and he had more churches than the original apostles of the Lamb. So
is that with the leaders of that ministry saying that to you, do that kind of like strip that person of the confidence in whom God called them to be? If they tell them that, I'm not interested in your title. Your title means nothing to me, but they themselves carry titles, so how could it not mean anything?
Here's the thing. If you come into a house now, and this can be a very sensitive subject, especially for leaders that's been hurt. Now let me qualify this carefully.
Okay.
You'll have times when, you know, God may call you out from the way you are, and he'll send you somewhere else. And that, of course, may be for a season or however how long it's supposed to be. And what will happen in you coming in contact with this new leader, they want to see who you are for a minute, if they're wise. The Bible says to know them that labor among you. So a wise leader, I would say it would be okay for them to sit back and watch you for a season. Now, it's a little disrespectful for someone to come to you and to immediately reject you, and they haven't had an opportunity to see who you were. They're just drawing conclusions based on their personal experiences with previous people who have become a part of their ministry. That right there in itself could be a little bit disrespectful, and they may have to learn how to be a little bit more meek and show a little more love toward the brethren. Now, it's true enough, a lot of times people going to come to us as leaders. Some of y'all are going to experience this. People are going to come to you, and they're going to have the wrong intentions. They're going to have the wrong motives. They're going to have a plan. And their plan is to get as close to you as they possibly can and work their witchcraft. I ain't going to say magic. Work their witchcraft, because that's exactly what they're going to do. And they're going to try to do all they can to tear down what God is trying to build up in you. And this is why you have to be wise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again, it talks about being a wise master builder. That's just not for apostles, but that's for every fivefold gift ministry.
Yeah.
You have to be wise master builders. And when people come and present themselves as being all great, I forget what that scripture is. I believe it's in Proverbs or Psalms. I'll find it when I'm done with the teaching. But it talks about that we should be careful not to present ourselves as great among great men. You have to be careful with that. Because if you truly call to the Lord and you are who you say you are, eventually some fruit going to show up. You know, and I'm one of those ones, I'm a fruit inspector.
I want to
see what kind of, don't tell me you're an apple tree and you growing plums. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, you say you're a pear tree and you got bananas coming off of it. You just as bananas
right.
as you want to be.
Right.
So that in itself, we have to, you know, again, we have to know them that labor among us. And sometimes, you know, even myself as a leader, you know, it's you're gonna find that there's times where, you know, you can't just you just can't trust everybody. You know, and sometimes you're gonna need some folks with you that know how to discern, that know how to go in their prayer closet and pray for you and ask the Lord to open up your eyes so that you can see what's going on.
Yes.
That's so needed in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And again, sometimes, you know, here's another example. It might be one leader in that house. And as far as I'm concerned, God never sent nobody in ones. He always sent them in twos.
Ooh, Apostle. You don't know what you're doing. You're bringing so much confirmation to things that I didn't send up to the Lord. I mean, it's so much confirmation is going on here.
Amen. Amen. But and this is what the Lord is just opening our eyes. Hey, watch this. Let me continue here in these different channels. Go again over to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, I believe I want to go to chapter 10. And we were here a couple of weeks ago in reference to the ministry of the prophet Samuel. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 10. I love this passage of scripture because it's so inspiring how Saul runs into Saul. And matter of fact, let's go to chapter 9, and I'm just going to read it. It's a good refresher. Praise God. Amen. Let's go to chapter 9, and let's start at verse 25. And I'm going to read into chapter 10 and 1 Samuel 9 and 25. Saying, when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Now, I want y'all to pay close attention to this, because here is a senior prophet getting ready to release a very powerful impartation onto another vessel. And again, the prophets have the ability, as well as the apostles, to access the heavens. What Samuel is getting ready to do is he's finna open up the first channel of an open heaven. He's got access to it. He's tapping into it. Look at this in chapter 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be the captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrows for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Now here it is, he's prophesying to him. He's giving him both a prophetic word and a word of knowledge. And he's so accurate that he's even giving him geographical visions. He's prophesying geographically where he's going to be standing at. He's seeing.
Lord,
come on,
yes,
y'all.
Yes.
He just opened up two heavenly portals and released them upon Saul just that fast through the prophetic.
Yes.
This is one of the things. Now, watch this carefully. I want to show y'all something, and we're going to stay in chapter 10, but flip over, if you can, back to the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, that's where I want to go. Amen. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, in verse, where is that scripture? Amen. My goodness. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 56, that's where we want to go. Verse 56. Now, it's interesting here because at this particular time, Jesus is getting on some of these folks, some of these religious folks.
He's breaking them down. Lord, have mercy, to broke them down.
now, look at this in verse 56. He says, Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Now, now look at this carefully, just at this scripture. Here it is that in this particular release that this Samuel is doing, he's already discerned the time of the day. Remember, back up, that he waited to the exact moment to release this prophetic word. First off, as a prophetic vessel, you got to understand timing. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
You got to understand the timing of the day. He said specifically it was the spring of the day, and he waited till they walked a little ways. He walked a little ways down a little the hilltop, through the valley, through a broad, and here it is. Saul had a servant with him. He said, "Let your servant go on. I got something I want to share with you." Waited for the perfect time. Now he's accessed at this particular moment. He's accessing through the prophetic, the channels of God's glory. He starts to prophesy, and then he begins to see. Now, remember, the prophet Samuel was a seer. We're going to read that in a minute. He begins to see, and he begins to release a word of knowledge. He's operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, yeah, they were doing the gifts of the Spirit in the Old Testament. The only gift of the Spirit they wasn't doing was speaking in tongues. Come on, somebody. he begins to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. He begins to move in the word of knowledge and release the prophetic word and through the seer's anointing. And he tells him geographically, this is what you're going to be doing. He says, when thou art departed from me today, thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre. He said, and in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. This way you're going to be standing, and this is what you're going to be doing when the portal from heaven open up. and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wantest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrows for you, saying, What shall I do for thy son, or my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tobar. Is he not still giving him geographical dimensions here?
He then gave it all to him. All he had to do was just walk in it.
Watch this. Look this. And there shall meet the three men going up to God to Bethel. Wait, do we all remember when we was talking about Jacob over in Bethel? Is this not a geographical portal, heavenly portal that's opened up?
Yeah.
He says, one carrying three kids and another carrying three loaves of bread and another carrying a bottle of wine. So specific. And
you
they will salute
them.
Thee. He said, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread which thou shalt receive of thy hands. Watch this now. The bread is very symbolic. Why did he have to give him some bread? Was he hungry? Come on, somebody. The reason why he had to give him some bread, the Bible says, and give us this day our daily bread. The deliverance is the children's bread. There was something in Saul's flesh that he needed to be delivered from in order for him to access this dimension of God's glory. Remember, you can't come into the presence of God any old kind of way. Oh, my goodness. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. He says, and thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou come thither to the city that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. So not only are you going, he said, not only are you going to come into contact with God's glory because you're going to be introduced to this portal from heaven, but you're going to also come into a company of prophets that also got access to the glory.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Watch this. Yes. And he says, and then verse 6 says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. Hallelujah. The glory of God will turn y'all into a whole nother person.
That's what I'm talking
You
about.
Cannot stay the same in the presence of God. It is impossible. It's impossible. There's no way in the world you're going to be introduced to a real, true, prophetic man and woman of God. Come into the presence of them. They lay hands on you and prophesy, and they go into the presence of God, and they can see exactly what God getting ready to do for you. They impart into you, and then you get introduced to the glory of God in the same manner. There's no way you can stay the same. I challenge anybody listening under the sound of my voice, if you've been sitting up in the same church for the last 20, 30 years, and you still the same person you was the first moment you went up there and said, Lord, forgive me, I challenge you to leave, because you should have changed 20, 30 years ago.
Glory, Lord God.
Amen, amen.
There's no way in the world you could be in the presence of God's glory and still be the same.
Glory.
There's no way in the world you can sit in the presence of God and never prophesy.
Glory.
There's no way in the world you can sit in the presence of God and never lay hands on a sick and they don't recover. There's no way in the world you don't access God's glory by being in his presence in the, under the covering of a true prophetic and apostolic man of God. No way you can stay the same.
Glory.
No way.
Glory, Lord.
You've got to become a new man, a whole nother person.
Yes, Lord.
His anointing. I remember when we were ministering on the ministry of reconciliation. When the glory of God, when the anointing of God comes upon you, it literally smears itself on you.
Glory, Lord.
It breaks every yoke off your life, everything that's not like him.
Oh, yes.
And can't no sickness stay in your body. Can't
Glory,
no can't, unforgiveness can't be in your body. None of that. There's no way you can stay the same when you come before the presence of the God. Glory to God. Look, watch this. He says in verse 7, and let it be when these signs. Does not the glory of God produce signs? Have we not experienced angelic visitation in many of our services when we've seen literally where angels would come into the room? I got feathers on top of my fireplace mantles right now because of angelic visitation. We've been in services where fresh manna has fell from heaven. When you start talking to people like this, they look at you like you're crazy. That's because I can't say nothing spiritual to a carnal person.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Anytime the presence of God show up, there's a sign.
Yes.
When the kingdom of God is preached, signs, wonders, and miracles follow. Now, we don't seek after signs, but because we operate in the dimension of God's glory, because we demonstrate his kingdom, the Bible again says the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. So when the kingdom of God shows up on the scene, not only have we accessed heaven, we've accessed his glory, and a sign comes to show us that we're in his presence. So he said, and let it be when these signs that come unto thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. My God. Hallelujah. You can't go wrong when God is with you. Look down in verse 10. It says in verse 10, it says, and when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came on him, and he prophesied among him. And it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is it that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? your true ministry calling. If God said that you're going to teach, when the glory of God comes upon you, you're going to teach. If God said you're going to be a pastor, when the glory of God comes upon you, you're going to pastor. If God said that you're going to be an evangelist, when the glory of God will come upon you, you're going to evangelize. If he said that you're going to be a prophet or a prophetess, when the glory of God comes upon you, you're going to prophesy. You're going to cast out devils. You're going to rebuke, and you're going to chase, and you're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. If God said that you're going to be an apostle, when the glory of God comes upon you, your apostleship is going to be confirmed because of the glory of God.
Glory, glory, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. You cannot come in the presence of God and stay the same.
Yes.
You have to become a changed man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Even your even the way you dress change.
Amen. Yeah.
You don't wear the same makeup no more. You don't wear the same shoe. Oh, it just change you.
Glory.
Amen. Amen.
Your speech change. You don't cuss no more. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah.
My God, Jesus. Thank you.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord God, for your glory, Lord.
Amen. I'm going to stop right there, y'all. I feel later in my spirit. The Lord said stop, because I sure could keep going. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word tonight, Father.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to play this song for a minute. Y'all can just worship, and I'm going to come right on back in a minute.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Your eyes,
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I wanted to share that scripture with you all tonight, the one that I was talking about. It's in Proverbs 25 and 6. I did find it. And it says, in the King James Version, it says, "Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men." And I believe I even used this on probably one of my Twitter quotes. And I worded it like this. It's, "Do not claim honor and authority for yourself in the higher offices and try to stand as someone great." And that's what's happening right now. I've never seen ever in the time of history, you know, and it's, they used to do this back in the day, but it's even worse now, that every time we begin to put emphasis on a title in the church that appears to be a higher calling to us, many people are really quick to elevate themselves or to affirm themselves in these higher callings, in these titles. And we got to be careful on how we handle the roles in the church, especially with the apostles and prophets. Those roles, when you begin to carry these titles, you really sign over your entire life.
Yeah.
You have to be ready to give up a part of your life, if not all of your life, for the sake of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And if Christ died for the church, keep in mind, even as apostles and a prophet, you're going to stand as an ambassador of the Lord, and you represent him. Are you ready to do the same thing he did?
Jesus. Come on, man.
And you know, I heard an apostle say one time to a young man that wanted to be an apostle so bad, and he said, "Really?" He said, "You really want to be an apostle?" He said, "Have you ever read about the apostles in the Bible?" He said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Did you read what happened to those guys?" And he and I think people miss that. You know, do you really understand what went on with those guys? Do you know what they went through? And because we're witnessing in our time and in this church age, the church is literally repeating on the book of Acts right now. We're literally living the actions of the apostles. Real quickly, over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I think I've shared this before too, but again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 3, verse, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and in verse 15, it tells us, it says, and I'm going to read down a little, it says, "That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, and there is a time there for every purpose and for every work." So from time to time, y'all going to see, we're going to repeat some stuff. History has a tendency to repeat itself.
And
the church is in the midst of repeating some history right now. We're getting ready to, and it's interesting, even today, we're at the 10th day of the second month, and what's interesting is that God's order is being reestablished. His judgments are being reestablished back into the church. Not only have we seen the righteous being judged, but the wicked is being judged as well. And so we're getting ready to experience another a move of God like we did over 100 years ago on Azusa Street, but we're getting ready to experience a second overdose of his glory like we've never experienced before. And there's going to be an even greater reverence for the things concerning the kingdom and the body of Christ like there's never been. And you can I can guarantee you in 2010, this year you're going to see masses of souls coming to the Lord. And so many of you that are questioning who you are and whether you're called of God, whether you're ready, whether you're going to be that particular person that's going to be in the forefront of ministering to the people, this is not the time to question God. Remember what happened to the Apostle Peter. He always questioned God three times. Remember that. Until at some point, you know, he almost lost his life, and the church had to agree with him so he could get access to the glory again.
Oh my God, Jesus! You're right.
We gotta stop asking the Lord. Lord, did you say this? Did you say that? You need to know for sure. Go back and read the book of John. I believe it's in John chapter 10. Those that are His, they know His voice. You need to know that you know that you know that you're hearing the voice of God, without a shadow of a doubt. You're absolutely, positively sure that you've heard from God. And a lot of that is going to come because you got your relationship in line with Him. You can't go wrong. And one of the things I was talking about tonight, I believe I was with Monica, we talked about how, you know, what happens when you've been hearing from God, and then you come into a season where it doesn't seem like you're hearing from Him anymore. And one of the things that the Lord began to deal with me about, He said, son, this is what's happening. He said, it's not that I'm not speaking anymore. It's just what I've said is still being required, as if I'm still saying it until I say something else again. So whatever God said to you yesterday, and you ain't heard Him speak all day today, He's still saying what He said yesterday. if He said it to you 2 months ago and you ain't heard Him say nothing else but what you heard Him say 2 months ago, He's still saying it.
He's still saying that same thing to you today.
He ain't going to say nothing else until you do what He told you to do the first time.
And you know what, Apostle? You are so right. And sometimes God would speak in a different way. You got to position yourself to know when He is speaking. He can speak to you in the wind, but you got to be able to hear what the wind is doing.
That goes back to what He said to the hypocrites. He said, y'all can discern the face in the sky, and you can see what's going on all over the earth. But when it comes to some spiritual stuff,
you don't even know it.
You have no clue. You is lost. And that's what we have to get our relationships together, our relationships with the Lord. And I'll tell you, there's so many things that are coming up, because if Satan know that you're getting access to God's glory because you have been connected to somebody who he can't interfere with, then he's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting close to it. He'll throw everything but the kitchen sink at you. And if you get close enough, he might throw that at you too.
Good evening. Lord, have mercy, Jesus.
Yeah, God wants us to. He wants His children to be blessed, and there's no doubt about that. And we've gotten the body of Christ has almost every vehicle there is. You look at our world today, and you look at it in the natural sense. You got every vehicle in the world, every motor car that can access any place in the world. And the spirit realm is the same way. God has equipped us and given us the tools. He's given us the spiritual vehicles to access His presence in all sorts of matter. The problem is that we're still sitting around trying to figure out how to start it up. we're not getting the keys. We don't have the right keys. We got the keys to the boat trying to start up the car. You got to get the right keys.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
And I believe that things that God wants to do is heavily upon us. You know, it doesn't. For those that are saying that it doesn't seem like it, I'm not sure, and I don't know. Believe me when I say it's upon you. It's on you so strong that if you take one more step forward, you'll probably step on it. It's a press. It's a press. And if it's something that's keeping you weary, if you know, I saw Apostle Eckhart posted a comment on Facebook today, and he was talking about deliverance, and he was saying something in reference to behaviors or habits or just habitual things that go on in your life. And a lot of times, especially for believers that do habitual things, they don't even realize that it could be hindering them. And that's why deliverance is so important. And don't get me wrong, you know, I haven't done a whole lot of teaching on deliverance because we have been talking about the glory. And one thing about the glory is that's like instant deliverance. If you ready and yielded and you got your relationship in line with the Lord, as soon as you come into his presence, if it's anything there, it's going to come off you.
Yeah.
It won't stay.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
But it's going to be some times where you got to be like Saul, and you need to get a piece of bread. You need to get you some communion first.
Yeah.
You need to get that deliverance, man. That bread, that's all that bread did was symbolize deliverance.
Yes. Jesus, yes, Lord, yes. Lord.
And we're going to get there, amen. Let's see, today is February the 10th, and as of now, I believe we only have two more weeks, and we're going to complete the first 6 month training. And those in Houston and Mississippi, hey man, we are aware of what's going on, and believe me when I say, God has not forgotten you, and because of your faithfulness, because of your diligence, I believe that God is going to reward you even the more greatly. And if there's still any doubt there, come on and deal with that. Deal with that quickly.
Yes.
And you're going to know that you've dealt with it because you'll know when God raises you up and promotes you, not just only spiritually, but it's going to confirm itself in the natural as well.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen. Ain't God good? Y'all got any other questions tonight?
Yes.
I knew tonight was going to be short and to the point. The Lord told me, and he dropped this word in my spirit actually yesterday, and told me that this is what I was supposed to teach on tonight. And like I said, the next 2 weeks, I'm not sure which direction the Lord is going to go. But I can guarantee you that we're not just going to wrap it up that simple.
Yeah.
I believe the Lord has some awesome things that's in store for us in the days to come.
Glory to God.
Amen.
But I just thank God for you, Apostle. I thank God that He even put me on your heart tonight, and that you called me to remind me of the school and cleared up some questions that I myself had asked God. You know, you did a lot of confirmation on tonight.
Amen.
A lot of confirmation came forth on tonight, and I thank God for that.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else tonight?
God bless you, Apostle Hill. Yesterday evening, the Lord auctioned me to go back to the radio conference and listen.
Amen.
in that, he began to tell me to tell you to go back and listen to what was spoken over your life. Because right now you're in the season of Terry and your vision. And you have to just remain in that place. Terry means to wait in expectation. And it may not look like what you envisioned it to look like. And people may have fallen off and it seems as if it's going nowhere, but wait in expectation because that he gave you has not been done before. And the vision must be exactly like he said it. And so go back and revisit your vision. And as you wait in expectation, continue to progress toward what he said. And you're going to continue to see him reveal more and more. Don't worry about what it looks like today. But he shall do exactly what he said he would do. The other thing, is Shamikia on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line.
How are you, Shamikia? God bless you.
I'm good.
As I was listening, I was listening over the prophecy. I don't know if it was a question. I think it was a question, and he really didn't answer. But you had the same question as far as where God would have you to go. And I just challenged you. I challenged you on today that you really begin to trust what God already spoke to you and begin to progress toward it. Because, you know, sometimes we got to go back and revisit our prophecy to encourage us, not only to encourage us, to ask ourselves, are we progressing toward that vision? Are we progressing toward it? Was it God that said it? And am I anywhere near what God wants me to be? Because a lot of times we get caught up in the moment and we'll say, well, I'll put it down or I'll put it to the side. Or maybe it's not time, or maybe I'm ahead of myself, or maybe I'm ahead of God. But you know what's in you, and you got to trust God for what he's saying. And God is truly dealing with you with your trust in him. And just because you're not where he said today doesn't mean he's not taking you there. Will you trust him when you can't trace him? So I just encourage you to challenge yourself to trust God in whatever he said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else?
Well, I'm Marjorie, and I'm in Georgia. And I've been listening on the studies online. And I've just been blessed. And today I had a chance to actually get into the conference. But I thank God for the wisdom he has given Apostle. And I have been learning a lot. It's like my soul has been so blessed. It's like I was seeking the resources and God just connected me to it. And I feel like this is more than money. Is more than anything. It's like my soul was waiting to hear. It's like I'm being fed, even though I'm so far away, but in the spirit, I'm right there. And I just thank God for connecting me to this man of God, because I feel like it's a lot of wisdom. It's a lot of knowledge just being shared. And I'm just grabbing it as I'm listening. I'm just grabbing everything that I can. And I just thank God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Bless you, Apostle.
This is Carla.
Bless you, Carla. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
I just want to say to God be the glory. And I just want to say, even as we wind down in the time that God has given us over these 6 months, I tell you, much has been imparted in me. A lot of things that I shall never forget. But I just want to encourage you as we wind down, as God gives us an opportunity to rest and relax from, you know, the period of time that we've spent in his word, that you just really take the time for yourself, Apostle, to retreat and to refresh and to renew. And the vision is for an appointed time, and though it tarry, wait for it, it shall speak and not lie. But really take your time that God will give you in between, the time in between before beginning the next segment of class or whatever God leads you to do, to really take time for you to really refresh, renew, and to hear the voice of God, to know the next direction and the next place that he's taken you and the ministry that he's given unto you. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you for, you know, your impartation. Thank you for your diligence and your faithfulness and coming every Wednesday night into and giving of yourself and pouring of yourself. God bless you. I'm forever grateful. And I will see you in the next two, what, remaining weeks of the sessions of whatever else God has to say to us. But God bless you. And I just wanted you to know that I've appreciated the time that I've spent in listening to the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I will say this now, you know, when those my daughters in Houston, let me tell y'all, they pray for me, and that's not to say that Shamika don't. I know Shamika do, because she'll call and check on me just to see if I'm still alive. but one thing about what the both of y'all just said is that now I don't know if anybody ever read our vision, you know, and I oftentimes I go back and I will read it, and the Lord will remind me. And what's interesting is that every time I've started to do something in the natural, it's like it could be maybe months, even if it's in the next year, before God will produce that thing in the spirit. And I haven't really shared with all of y'all what's been going on as far as the new position that I've taken. I am very busy these days, very, very busy. And I refuse to get so busy where I can't take time out to get into the word. And I was just sharing with someone tonight about a young lady that came into my office today, and she asked me, she said, how do you do it? How do you do this job and then have a ministry and then go home with your family? And I told her, you know what? It's just by the grace of God. It is. It's the grace of God. But I know that all that God has entrusted in me to do, that he would give me his grace to do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gave it to me.
Yeah.
So rather than me to stress out about it and feel like I'm overwhelmed, I know that God has given me the strength to keep going. And he's also given me the wisdom when to stop.
Yeah.
So, and I'm excited. You know, one of the things I had shared with y'all a couple of months back, and I believe it was with the Houston group, and in particular, I think it was everybody, about when God charges us to do more. And being stretched. I knew right then and there that God was going to stretch me, because I challenged y'all to be stretched. And sure enough, from that day on, I was stretched in everything that I'm doing. Matter of fact, how about even today? I didn't get off of work now till about an hour and a half before we started tonight. Just got off work. I've been at work since early this morning. Now, how about I got stretched some more while I was at work today? They like the job that I'm doing. And I'm just doing a job, just a regular job. I ended up getting an opportunity to oversee two more sites in another city. So
Amen.
So that would give me a total of 12 sites now.
Wow.
And these are all 20. These are all 24-hour sites. Even though now, and I had to train the people how to deal with me, how to come and approach me, because they didn't know how to approach a key officer in the company. So I told him, look, don't call me after hours. Follow protocol. There's other people in place for you to talk to other than me.
Yeah.
So it took time to get there, but it's working. And so even with the responsibility that I'm getting and all of the work, God is still giving me the grace to continue on. And, you know, I can wake up and I can go to work and I can sing in the spirit. I can still pray. I mean, it's just wonderful. I still got time with my family.
Yeah.
I still get to spend time with my boys and play the video games with them. That's what they like to do. So,
So
I know how to get in the flow and be a big kid with them, and enjoying it. I got a chance to sit with my father over the weekend and kick back with him and watch the Super Bowl game. So, you know, when God stretches us, He'll give us the grace in the midst of us being stretched.
Yeah.
Again, to whom much is given, much is required.
Amen.
So, keep praying for. And I am. I'm taking a nice little break after this 6 month training. And
the
Lord
break
has already begun. And as a matter of fact, the Lord has already ministered to me about how to approach it again.
Amen.
The next time. So it is going to be much different.
It's a realigning. He's doing a realigning. Everything has to be realigned.
Yeah,
it's a realigning. And in that, the vision is going to flourish. Just a realigning, just a readjustment. And that's just part of ministry. But the awesome thing about it is that in it, the blessing comes. A lot of times God was just allow to watch us to see if He can trust us with the vision. You know, a lot of people say they want a vision, but they don't want the work that comes with the vision. They don't want the headaches that come with the vision. They don't want the stretching that comes with the vision, because see, a lot of when God promotes you, He causes you to have to balance everything until you can get to the full-time status of ministry. And in that means you got to juggle family, children, you got to juggle the balancing of life, and that means you have to sacrifice a whole lot of yourself. And
that's right.
Are you willing to do that? You know, people say they're willing. They don't understand you have to go into the deeper level of study, a deeper level of prayer, a deeper level of fasting. You want the vision. Without all that, it's not going to happen. Because it's
right.
Going to take some diligence, some perseverance, some endurance, and a whole lot of faith. But if you can trust God, and not yourself, the grace which is already measured out. That's what the Bible says. He measures out grace according to the needs of each person. So the grace that I have is not your grace. So if you try to walk in my anointing, you ain't going to be able to handle it. You try to walk in Apostle Hill's, you cannot do it, because He gave you enough grace for what He called you to walk in. But if you walk outside of God's will, you can't make it. And a lot of times we get caught up doing what we want to do and miss one step of what He told us to do, and we got to go back. And, it's like, okay, I got to go back. I missed a step. And it's okay. Okay, I missed a step, so let me go back. That doesn't mean that the vision is not going to happen, that His promise is not going to come forth in my life. That means I just have to realign and readjust what I thought He said, or what I thought was a great idea. Carla says this all the time, a great idea is not always a God idea. And we got to hear God and do what He says and not what man thinks is right, or not what we think is right, because I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I go off a tradition, because it's not what – it's a new thing. So I got to begin to walk it out exactly how God said. And what God is doing in this season is a new thing. So each of us is walking out a new role that we've never walked out. But if you think you're going to walk it out according to what it used to be, you're going to miss God.
Yes, Lord. Glory.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good word. Good word. Praise God. I want y'all, if y'all can tonight before we hang up, I want y'all to pour into Marjorie. This is everybody's first time on here, right? Speaking to Marjorie. So if y'all can, I just want y'all to just pour into her, pray for her, and whatever the Lord gives you to share, feel free to share with her. And just kind of just love on her. I just want y'all to just really love her. And I've been had the privilege to talk to her a couple of times, and was really impressed with her spirit when she came to me, and very open, very honest. And I'm gonna open up the floor so y'all can minister to her tonight.
Glory, hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Marjorie, is that your name?
Yes, it is.
Okay, praise God. At this time, what are you doing concerning what God is calling you to do? Are you walking in your purpose today as you know it to be?
I say yes to the Lord. I say yes. And that's why I'm trying to get into the Word so that I can develop into what He has called me.
Okay. Do you know what it is God is calling you to do?
I've had I feel like God has called me to be a prophet, because God has revealed to me Luke chapter 1 in verse 70-something. And when I had read that, I was asking Him to show me who I am, and I was asking Him for Him to open my eyes. And He led me into that chapter, and I didn't even know what it was. And when I read it, and He was saying that I've called you to be a prophet, and I think that's when it was about John the Baptist.
Okay. How long ago was that? How long ago was that that God spoke that to you?
It's been a year, almost a year.
Okay. So are you in study time now, or do you know where to begin to study? Because it's like I see you, you heard God's voice. You now understand what He's calling you to do, but it's like you don't know where to begin. It's like, I want to do what you told me to do, God, but I don't know where to begin. It's like I see you there looking at the Word, but you're like, I don't know what to do with it. I know to read it, but I know I'm called, but where do I begin? Does that sound like where you are?
I know the Word, and I'm using the Word.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I haven't had an opportunity to develop into it, because it's like everywhere I go, mostly I get rejected a lot. And the moment that God starts to use me, like if I go to a ministry, then it's like I start getting barriers. And it's like a spirit of jealousy also that comes over the people. I don't know what it is, but I start to get rejected, and then I just back down, and because I don't want to, you know, because I don't have that, take over spirit.
Right. Because what God is doing with you right now, He wants you to begin to walk in the boldness of your gift. And you're one of those, I feel you as a simplicity person. You need it to be simple and plain for you. And what God is doing is he's trying to get you to walk in the boldness of your gift. And as you begin to walk in the boldness of it, meaning you don't have to rebuke or correct or have a takeover spirit, but you have to have the boldness of God, where you know who you are, you're confident in who you are, and you believe who you are through what God spoke to you. And so what he's causing all the friction and the confusion to come forth so that you will begin to say, you know what, no matter what you say to me, no matter what you think of me, I heard the voice of God. I am who God says I am, and no matter what you think, I'm not going to back down to you because you don't dictate or orthodox my life. You got to get to a place where you don't let anyone speak against what God already spoke. But when you begin to confess out of your mouth, and with the boldness of God, you know what? No matter what you say, I heard the voice of God. You can't take my gift and you can't make my gift. It's God who gave it to me. So he's going to give me what I need. But he wants you to get bold with who you are. And that's why you're going from place to place, the same story, because he needs you to get it. So you have to get to the place he wants you to be and be still and walk in that. And that means you're going to be talked about. You're going to be confusion comes with the gift of prophecy, because the enemy in the church, they don't want your voice to be heard because of the power of the prophetic. But you got to begin to lay low. And what I mean by lay low is go in there and know why you are there. When you get into a ministry, you got to know why God put you there. And in that, learn what you have to get from that ministry. And there will come a time when you won't have to be there, because the people that are coming at you are those who don't want to be exposed. Because that is your gift, to expose the unrighteousness of people.
Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Amen. So God has really shown me that. But in me, I don't want to claim honor, like Apostle say. You don't claim honor for yourself, and you have to wait either for the men of God or the woman of God to just, you know.
No. When I say boldness, I mean boldness in the spirit. Not going to say I'm a prophet and I. No, what I mean, what God means by boldness, he means in the spirit, meaning you're praying. Because the gift of the prophetic prayer is your intercession is key to your who you are. And the gift of the prophetic, your intercession must come forth. And so when you begin to see someone come forth at you like that, that's because God needs you to pray. So you got to know where he wants you to be at this time and season. And in that, what is my assignment there, God? And let nobody move you from your post, because, again, the gift of prophetic, you have a post, and you have to stand on that post, and you got to know what your post is, and you got to know. But he's teaching you all that. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's going to teach you all that, but you got to not let the spirit of rejection move you at this time. That's just the trick of the enemy. And when you begin to understand that, you'll begin to see more and more. Continue to stay in your word. Continue to fast. Are you fasting? Have you begun to fast? Do you understand fasting?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So as you begin, as you continue, you know, just increase in your fasting as God would have you, because it's going to be your lifestyle. And in that, you'll see more, you'll hear more from God, and you'll understand more. But, you know, just begin to pray. And find out where God wants you to be. Carla, do you feel led to pray for her?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
And what's her name again?
Marjorie.
Okay, yeah. Marjorie. I also just want to encourage you to just continue to stay in the Word of God. Stay before God, praying and asking God to send you to the place where God would have you to be. Sometime as we begin to walk towards the things of God, sometime God places us in places, not so much for us to do a work for him, sometimes it's just for him to show us things not to do, and just a place where he may just set us in a place for a period of time just to sharpen some things in us. But even as you sit there, you pray and you ask God, God, who do you want me connected to in this church? Or am I to be connected to anybody? Or what is my place here? Because every place that we go is for the perfecting and taking us to where we're going. May not be there today, but we're on our way there. And as we continue to progress towards the things that God has called us to do, we're going to have to go into some places that are uncomfortable, but God will give you the wisdom. He'll give you the knowledge. He'll give you the understanding as you continue to stay before him. Okay? So I just want to, with your permission, pray for you, if that's okay. Spirit of the living God, I bless you on tonight. I glorify you, Lord. I bless your name, God. I thank you, God, tonight for an opportunity to enter into your gates with thanksgiving, come before your courts with praise, God. I thank you, Lord God, that on tonight there is nothing that hinders us from coming into your presence, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord God, for the woman of God. God, I pray, God, that you continue to keep her encouraged in the things of God, Lord. I thank you for those that you'll surround her with, God, that will speak the word of God to her, Lord God, that will help us to continue to walk towards the things of God. I thank you, Lord God, for her continuous prayer life, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord God, for her ear to hear, God, her heart to receive, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, God. Every tongue that rise up against us shall be scattered, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, we bless and glorify you on tonight, God. I thank you, Lord God, even as she lay her head up on a pillow on tonight, God, I pray that you encourage her, God, through dreams and visions, God. Continue to show her who she is, God, and where she's going at in you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord God, for open portals, God. I thank you, Lord God, for internet access, God, tonight in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord God, that there are no limitations in you, Lord God. So I just ask you, Lord God, that you would give her her gateway, God, that you have for her, God, to connect to, God, that you continue to grow, God, and prosper in the things of you, God. I pray that you just encourage her, girl, encourage her, continue to equip her, God, and continue, God, to put women of God and men of God around her, God, that will gird her up, God, and take her to her place in you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Sharpen her on every side, I pray, in the name of Jesus, God. Continue, God, to give a discernment, God, like never before, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I bless you and I glorify you, God. I already know and I believe by faith, God, that we commit unto you, God. You incline your ear down not only to hear us, but to answer our prayer, God. So thank you for answering prayer, God. Thank you for her praise reports, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and bless God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Margie, this is Evangelist Kim. And God said that the spirit of rejection came because he's pushing you into that secret place, that true prophets walk in the secret place of God. And he said that he's sharpening your prophetic gifts. He said that people will reject you because you're going to begin to speak the true oracles of God, that you won't be like the prophets in the land today that's preaching and speaking false doctrine. Glory to God. He said that he is sharpening your prophetic skills and that you're moving into the secret place of God. And don't be that afraid, my daughter, because I got you. I got you. Glory to God.
Praise God.
And he's even right now opening up your ear gates. Glory to God. That you will hear what thus saith the Lord. And that you will begin to move in the manner in which he will have you to move in. He says, thinking that is not strange that the spirit of rejection have come up on you, my daughter, saith the Lord. Everyone will not receive you, but God said, that's okay. That's okay. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for moving her in such a place that you will work in her life, Lord God. We thank you for opening up her ear gate to hear what thus says the Lord. We thank you, Father God, for anointing her eyes that she may see that for your people, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that you anoint her tongue, Lord God, that she will only speak that of the oracles of God. We thank you, Lord God, right now.
Yes, Lord.
For raising up true prophets in the land. We thank you for raising up apostles in the land, Lord God. We thank you for raising up teachers. We thank you for what you're doing right now, Father God, in the land.
Wow. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Anybody
Amen.
Else? I'm gonna pull up. Let me pull up on that, the prophetic giftings on that, on y'all now.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory.
Shamikia, you got a word?
Yeah, I'm just in agreement for what everyone has said. Right now, you're in a place of training where God is training your gifts. And it's going to get to a point to where you become bold and you become strong in the gift that he has given you. And when you do begin to pray and the people begin to come against you, pray against the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab. Because Jezebel and Ahab always come to shut the mouth of the prophets. And that's what happened when you go into the different churches and the people begin to come against you is because they see the gift in you and they don't want it to come out. So pray against those two spirits.
Amen.
Amen. Praise. I think that's everybody that's left on here. Now, if you can, because this is a training call, Marjorie, go ahead and just kind of share your testimony a little bit with everybody. I want them to see where they were and how accurate they were.
About?
Yeah, just kind of
share. What I had shared with you before?
Yes, what you share with me. Just kind of, I mean, you know, you don't have to go too personal in it. I mean, just what the Lord would give you to share in reference to what was just said to you tonight, just to show them how accurate the Lord just used them in the prophetic.
Amen. Well, right now, I was married to a pastor. I'm still married to a pastor, but I'm separated with him. And it was because of the spirit of Jezebel that came in our church in between us. And he was having an affair with the lady. And the lady bewitched everybody in the church, including my husband. And the spirit of God kept showing me in my dreams everything that was going on. And that's how, you know, I started, you know, seeing things. And really what God was showing in my dream was a reality. And then he just opened my eyes. And then when I finally understood what was going on, then that's when, you know, like everybody tried to attack me. Because some people knew what was going on in the church. But then, you know, they allowed, you know, what was going on. And some people knew it was wrong, but they was not able to stop what was going on because they would bewitch the lady. She's into witchcraft. She even confessed that she's into witchcraft, that her father is a witchcraft doctor, and he's from Haiti. And she told me that she was going to deal with me. And that, you know, she totally, and she's married. She has two kids, but she totally took absolute control. My husband, even my husband started rejecting me. Everything that I was doing in the church, he stopped me from doing. He told the people that I was the one with the evil spirit and that the lady was, you know, God was using her as an instrument to promote his ministry, and I was just jealous of her. So it was just like everything was turned around, and it was like I was the liar. Nobody believed me. And I became a stranger in my own church. Everybody isolated me. And my husband, they even think that I should go to, like, a, you know, those crazy people hospital. They think that I was crazy and trying to tear up his ministry. And, you know, and then he kept frustrating me at home. He kept frustrating me at home doing things. He started, you know, just doing a lot of things. until, you know, God told me that I had to separate myself because I was getting sick, and then, you know, like, they were trying to put witchcraft on me to paralyze me. They were trying to put a spirit of stroke on me to paralyze me. And as I started to, is when I really was getting sick, and then that's when, you know, I started seeking, you know, God more, because in my sickness, and that's when I started to receive more strength. And as I started to receive more strength, and I prayed, and then, you know, they even start calling me a witch in the church and stuff like that, and they isolated me. And then, but the Spirit of God told me that I had to separate myself and I had to leave. And I didn't hear God. God didn't tell me, you know, everything that's good, but he just told me that I just needed to separate myself. And then he didn't want to leave. We had purchased a house together. He didn't want to leave, so I ended up leaving with my four kids and into an apartment. And, you know, he's going on with the church right now, and they're still acting like, you know, he was never married. He's never, you know, they're not concerned about his marriage or about his children. He's still pastoring the church, and the lady is still there doing praise and worship and continuing on like I never existed.
Think it not strange that the rejection came, because destiny is getting ready to meet destiny, and it was just a move to push you to the next level in God. And so God is going to do what he said he's going to do. So things, the trials and tribulations that we have in life, well, God said count it all joy. We have to count it all joy. I thank you for that. I'm moving into my destiny. That's another level that you're going to take, going toward your destiny.
Amen. Amen. I'm just praying God for his will. I was just praying God for his will about my marriage. And I know that he said we have to warfare and everything. And I know by his will, but that was like my fear. Would I still be able to do the will of God while I'm in this situation now? And that's why I haven't done anything, because I was still waiting for God to confirm to me what I need to do as far as moving forward and not staying stagnant.
Marjorie, I want to encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 5, it says, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge of divine plan previously hidden. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age or this world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away, but rather what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, to lift us into the glory of his presence. None of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this, for if they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. First off, know that he can never block your purpose. God gives man free will. Mm-hmm. I understand where you are because I'm walking in it myself. But I want you to understand that he chose to abort the plan of God for his life, but you didn't. And so because of his wrongdoing has nothing to do with God's will for your life. So you don't have to pay the price for his mess. That is not your assignment. Your assignment is to have a pure heart and make sure that you begin to ask God to examine your heart, that there's no unforgiveness, not only in him, but in her. Because God would bring everything into judgment, the good and the bad. So it is not for you to ponder on it. Yes, it hurts. I understand, because I'm walking in it. But I want you to understand, when you walk in the love of God, and don't let nothing, because, see, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, envy, strife
hinders your relationship with God. It separates you from God because that is not from God. Those are the spirits of the enemy. And so you can't have the good and the bad in the heart. You got to make sure your heart is pure. And so you got to begin to ask God, God, help me with anything in my heart that's causing me to get out of your will, that's causing me to, you know, to stay in this pain. So you got to rebuke the enemy. You got to cast down your imagination, and you got to let it go because you don't want anything to hinder you from where God is taking you. If you read on further, that scripture talks about how jealousy, when you see jealousy, jealousy is confusion, and that's of the enemy. And when you see that present in your life, know that even your own husband began to become jealous of you because of what's in, so because you were exposed in his unrighteousness. And so, of course, they were going to come at you. But God himself gave you the wisdom to discern with a keen eye and a keen ear. And in that, your gifts are being manifest each day, each day. Continue to trust the voice of God. Continue to believe in the vision he shows you. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can hinder your purpose but you. The devil don't have no power or authority over your life. And I speak into your hearing today that you are the woman of God. God has called you to the great prophetess that God has called you to. You shall walk in the office of it as God called you to, and nothing, absolutely nothing, shall hinder, block, or stop your purpose in the name of Jesus. You have to begin to understand that even with your four children, I want to say this to you. And you know, sometimes we can get so spiritual that we miss what God is saying. God says he is not a deadbeat dad. He's going to provide for your children, and you don't have to worry about going to court and all this foolishness. That's not of God. You ain't even got to do all that. You trust God and have faith in God.
Wait. Let me make you back. Let me get you to back up there one more time.
Go back on the court thing.
Say that one more time.
Hold on. I say any man that put away his wife, let him give her a letter of divorce.
Right, but that's not, y'all didn't let me finish. Y'all didn't let me finish. What God is saying to her is wanting to get back at him. You don't have to do that. God will give you justice. And what I mean by that, now I'm not saying you don't have to pay child support and all that. That's not what God is saying. There's something in her wanting to get revenge, like I got to get him back. Don't get him back through the courts. What I'm saying is God is going to bring everything into judgment. He's going to make him cause him to pay everything. But if you go at it the wrong way, you're not going to win that way. Go at it the right way, in the spirit. You pray. You intercede. You go with it with the wisdom of God. And don't let nothing bitter.
As far as a divorce is concerned or child support?
The child support. Oh. What God is saying to you is saying, don't go at it the wrong way. Do it the right way.
I have already established child support.
Okay.
May I interrupt?
When you're going to court for divorce, you got to do it the right way, is what God is saying.
May I interject?
Go ahead.
May I interject?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. God said that if any man put away his wife, that he ought to give her a letter of divorce. Now, he has committed a sin that will cause him to put away his wife. He has stepped out of the ordinance and the holiness of God when he started having an affair with this woman. So that calls for a letter of divorce. Now, she is due child support. Now, she don't have to do evil for evil, and I don't think that that's in her spirit. She has such a quiet spirit, and that's okay, but she is to retain that is righteous of her and for for her children.
But, see, you missed everything God was saying. You missed everything God was saying.
I don't believe that I did. Okay.
I'm not one to argue. And God is not the author of confusion. and you should have let God finish, and it would have manifested exactly what God was saying to her. See, God is not the author of confusion, and it was out of order. So that's why flowed out of order.
Let me interject for just a minute now. You know, from what I'm hearing, as far as the legal aspects of it, now, when we start dealing with taking folks to court, the Bible does speak about that concerning believers that take one another to court. Now, in the reference of both the child support and even in the midst of divorce, as far as flowing in that particular order, if there is grounds for divorce, and I recommend when there is ground for divorce, when it should be done, if there's no point of reconciliation in that marriage, number one, we have to look at that. If there's no way that this marriage can be reconciled, whether it be through verbal, mental, and physical abuse, or if it be through adultery, if you come into cases too where couples just can't get along. It's almost as if they got together for all the wrong reasons.
Amen.
And that's when they're definitely. And I understand what Evangelist Kim is trying to say as far as the letter of divorce in the legal matter, but in the sense of what Prophetess Misty is trying to say is that in Marjorie's case, she won't have to worry about taking him and trying to get anything. Or, in other words, to get anything extra out of him, because he would be responsible enough to take care of his business as a man should. Now, but in reference to as far as divorce is concerned, now, from what I gather from the entire situation, he's probably not going to put her away. He's probably going to do all he can to hold on to her. And she's got to make up her mind if she wants to move further and go ahead. And in reference to all that has transpired in that relationship, you know, none of us can say this is what you should do.
Amen.
You have to decide. And based on what God wants to do with your life, you know, you do need to decide quickly, because some things are hindering you from moving further, you know. And you said so many different things in your testimony that relationship must be severed to a point where you can feel free again to do what God is appointing for you or has called you to do even now. Now, again, back to what Missy said, you know, in so many words, taking him to court for the particulars, It's not going to be necessary, because he's going to do what he's supposed to do in that reference. Now, but if you do decide that you need to move on with your life in reference to the divorce, and I think that's what Evangelist Ken was saying, and this is where it got all crossed up, you do need to make sure that you take care of that portion of the business, because we still are required, according to the Lord, we're still required to render unto Caesar that which is of Caesar. We still have to follow the rules of the land.
Amen.
And again, you know, Moses did make mention, just like Christ did, that we do have to have a document for divorce, even in marriage. Well, we can get deep in this now. In reference to getting married, there was no exchange.
I was thinking about the divorce. And it was a time, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was seriously considering doing it. I prayed, and then I went to the court's website trying to pull the information. And then it was like I felt the spirit of death on the inside of me.
You felt right. You felt
yes.
right. Because
yes.
divorce is like death.
Yes.
That's what it is. If people don't realize this, and then let me tell you from a person that's been through it.
Yes, amen.
When you divorce someone, it's going to feel like death because you're breaking covenant with someone that God has joined you together as one. And that is like a portion or a part of you that is being killed. It's literally being put to death. And that's why the Bible says that God does not like divorces. God is not pleased with that. Because
that's why I couldn't do it, and I said I'm gonna seek God to make sure that's what He wants me to do.
But let me share this with you again too. Just like when we spoke, you know, just you and I, you know, you have all the legal grounds, especially according to the scriptures, to part ways. And because of what God is trying to do in your life, you're really going to have to take hold to what God is saying, period. And like I said, we can't tell you, we can't advise you. None of us can. But you're going to have to decide so that you can move further into the Lord. Now, you know, I'll tell you this much. Now, there's been, I've heard countless testimonies on how people will remain in a relationship with a spouse, and they don't live together. Years go by, children get old, they got grandchildren, and these two people are still legally married, and one or the other may move on and get off into another relationship, and then before you know it, death comes to one of the spouses, and all they did was live a lie. You know, you've been legally married to this individual. Remember, we still have to render unto Caesar what is Caesar. We still have to follow the laws of the land.
Amen.
We're commanded by the Lord to do that. And if we don't do that, we're being just as disobedient to the Lord as if we're not following the rules and the laws of the Spirit.
Amen.
And so when we live our life like that and we go on, he goes on and he gets into another relationship and never resolving the issue between you, never closing out that chapter, never dealing with it. I mean, he's leading the entire congregation astray and about to lose his soul to a hell. And it's unnecessary. That would be unnecessary for the both of you. And God will hold the both of you accountable for that because it takes two. It takes two. And it's not a matter of what he done or what you done. It's just a matter of taking care of business. Divorce is not a easy thing to do. It's not an easy decision to make. It's not something that you just walk into and decide, you wake up one day, I don't want to be married no more. No. The people who say that, they've been thinking about it for a while.
Amen.
That's not something that just happens.
Apostle, I would say to the woman of God that, her situation or circumstance have been, discussed. And wherever she decides to go from here, I don't think that anybody on the line have those answers on tonight. And that she needs to seek counsel concerning where she is and let her, you know, work through her own thoughts of where she is and where she's going.
I didn't understand that, woman of God. I'm sorry.
I said, as far as the woman of God and her situation and where she's at right now, I just feel like, we've given her godly counsel, whatever, that, you know, she should take her situation and go and sit down and talk with someone and get the help that she needs concerning where she's going at this time. I just don't think that is something for us to be discussing over the air tonight.
It's really not, you know. And,
mm-hmm. I really don't.
And none of,
you know.
And none of us, and like I said, and I said that, none of us can tell you what you should do. And you're going to definitely have to really, really go before the Lord with that. And But I really believe you do know what the Lord has been sharing with you to do. Hey, you're just going to have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
I want to apologize to the prophetess that first spoke. I did not mean to offend you in interjection with that I was seeing in the spirit myself. So if you would accept my apology, I would be most grateful because I didn't mean to offend you or anyone else.
Oh, no, I
agree.
I didn't take it as offense. It's just very critical that when God is speaking whatever, that we not interject so that the person, sometimes we speak something and you may not understand it, but she understood what God was saying to her. And so it's now, you know, scattered. And I just pray right now that divine order comes to her. And what I mean by that is that nothing is fragile in her mind, that she hears and obeys and adheres to the voice of God and does whatever it is that the Spirit is telling you at this time. And I'm just, my heart is broke because we have to be very careful that we don't confuse people, because God is not the author of confusion. And so I just pray, woman of God, that you hear and adhere to the voice of God. And whatever it is that he speaks, that you trust his voice and do whatever it is that he says for you to do. And that if I've confused you in any way, I have a godly apology, because that was not the intention of God.
Amen. I'm not confused.
Amen.
Good. I like what I hear tonight.
Well, I could take
that. I really do. I like what I hear tonight. This really proves maturity in the things of God.
Amen.
I really like what I hear. And Marjorie, everything going to be all right.
Amen.
Everything going to be all right. We're going to pray for you. And I know that these ladies on the phone that have ministered to you tonight, I know that they're going to pray for you too as well. We all
Amen.
Got unique circumstances. And just like Carla said, you know, nobody has answers. And I wouldn't even try to find it for you.
Oh, God has the answers. We just don't have them.
That's it.
But I believe wholeheartedly when Prophetess Misty was speaking, the Lord was speaking to Marge's heart. Because even as she was speaking, I could hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that the weapons of her warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. So
Amen.
at that point, I really know that God was speaking to her heart, to the woman of God's heart, you know, because I know things come up, situations, circumstances. I've been on the divorce side before. You know, and there are a lot of things that come up and make us bitter, especially as women. The first thing we want to do is, I'm going to get you back. And so I believe God was using that time to speak to her. And that's why I say, you know, each of us will lift her up and just ask that, you know, pray for her that the Lord will send her to who he needs to send her to in order that she'll be able to share her heart and be able to work through her situation. And whatever decision she decides to make, that it'll be the decision that God puts in our heart.
Man. Else tonight, y'all.
But I did want to hear that everything the lady had to say. If she still want to share it, I want to hear it.
Why don't you all... Hold on a second. Let me do something here first. Why don't you all go ahead and Missy, give her your email address.
Yes, it's Misty Block, MISTY BLOCK at